Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another Friday night with Let's Talk Fort Worth, hosted by yours truly, Carrie Hines. Tonight, we're going to ask you to click that share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're about to speak to some of the candidates that are running for City Council in District 5. Some of the candidates that I confirmed, I don't see on the line, so I will not call your name. But for whatever reason, we confirmed, I thought. But I do not see certain parties on the line for whatever reason, and I'm not sure. Ricky Vasquez is not on the line, not sure why. But he's saying he called and hung up. I'm not sure what that's about. Listen, y'all, tonight, we're going to get a little housekeeping out of the way before we begin. First of all, we know that April 1st was the last day to register to vote in the upcoming May 1st election. To register by mail, that must be done by April 20th. Early voting is April 19th, and it runs through the 27th. And we all know Election Day is May 1st. So let's all get out to the polls, make this a historic election. Let's do it like they did it in Georgia. It's absolutely something that we can make happen. Okay, y'all, I'm going to go to my phone, and I'm going to pick up the ones that I do see on the phone line. I do see Ricky Vasquez now. Good evening, Mr. Vasquez. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Bob Willoughby, good evening.
Yes. How you doing?
Good evening. Antonio Twin Harris, good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
I can. One other party supposed to be on the line. I'm sorry?
I'll just make it easy, could you hear me?
Okay. One other party is supposed to be on the line. I had that person confirmed if they would like to click 1. If I am somehow missing you on the phone line, you can do so now. If not, we will proceed. Listen, y'all, I've been looking at the campaign reports. Lots going on. Lots going on with the campaign reports that came in this week. That said, the incumbent, Tina Bivens, took endorsements from the POA. And I spoke with Ms. Bivens earlier this week, and she was not able to be with us tonight due to scheduling reasons. We spoke for about 20 minutes, and she said, you know, she has a pretty busy schedule, and due to that, she was not going to be able to repeat any shows that she'd done in the past. And I explained to her that some people felt like I booked her on a show where she wasn't with other candidates. And that was, I told her, my fault, and I apologize. Y'all, that did happen, and I have to take full responsibility for that. But she was not able to come back. So we're going to talk about the campaign reports because they are part of what y'all have to turn in and part of the process in which what y'all do. I noticed that a lot of you all did not have a lot of funding. And I want to know from each of you all, do you feel like that's going to hurt your campaign? I'll start with you, Bob Willoughby. Will that hurt your campaign if you are not able to get large amounts of donations to run your race?
Well, I don't know about large amounts, but if you don't get up to around $10,000, I don't think you can even really compete hardly, because you do have to, and this thing here, or to run an election, it takes money to reach people, and that's what you have to do regardless, no matter how good of a candidate, how honest or how smart. Even the best candidates out there that don't have enough money to run can't make it in this unless you've got money to actually. And if you need more than $10,000, I don't think you should be running. I don't want you as my council member, because that means you don't know how to manage money right there. Now, I say anybody with 10,000 can reach, when you only need 3,000 votes, and if you can't reach those with $10,000, I really don't want you as my council member either. And Florida, they have a cap on this. And that's what I'd like to see, is a fair election with a cap. That way everybody's equal, you know, right off the bat. That needs to be put in place here. But anyway, that's my point of view on there.
Ricky Vasquez, do you think not having a large amount of campaign donations will hurt your campaign?
No, not necessarily. And like I disagree with Bob said, you don't really need $10,000. Pretty much, you know, the district, you know, majority of the people in the area. But I do agree with what he said, though, like on the whole thing. If you got to get large amounts of money, like $83,000 or whatnot, you really should not. I wouldn't want you as a member either, because you know your council members is pretty much your leaders that also you can go to. They live in your neighborhood or in your district. Period. You should be able to come to them. You should be able to approach them in the council. Now, when it comes to like you running for Senate or Congress, yeah, that I understand, because you got way more than a small part of a city. But if you got word of mouth and you're reaching out to people and your name is getting out there, like with your campaign signs and everything, not only that, you're talking to people, other people know who you are, and a lot of people can convince other people, because, you know, we can't reach everybody that in a short period of time. But, like, for instance, me, I know I flipped a few voters just by word of mouth, and people just saw me on the street, said, hey, or they messaged me on Facebook, or they called me and said, hey, can you put a sign in my yard? And they was a Gina Bivens fan from there, but we was able to flip them because of word of mouth. I just think if you're reaching out there, it's good. And it's kind of like saying, like Antonio and everything, like me and him, we're not enemies. We're pretty good. We're good friends and everything, and we know each other, and people know that. So if people see, like, his people know me and my people know him, you know, they see that camaraderie together, that you're not really enemies, that you're out there really for the community, that can do people too. So it's just all about that. That's what people want, and I think that's what really affects an election, especially locals.
Antonio Twin, Harris, do you think not having a large amount of money from donations will hurt your campaign for donations?
Well, first of all, in all due respect to what Bob is saying, and I honor his knowledge, but this is a election where there's popular vote. In other words, endorsements do not win. Votes win. As far as having money and what have you, if I have a penny or a dime, it don't determine what kind of heart I have. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have to go into no arena talking about money. Again, I'm not trying to bash anybody or anything like that, because for me, it's not about money. I didn't even know what the position paid, because I wasn't going for the position for the pay in the first place. It's because I have a vision and I want to do something better for my community, my citizens, my environment, and my city. So, yes, I don't know about misappropriating funds and not being able to budget and what have you. That is not what this is about. Mm-hmm. This is about getting in and representing the people with a pure heart, a pure mind, a great agenda, and whatever it takes to make sure that the city and the citizens of Fort Worth grow and become a better city together.
Well, let's do this. Since, according to your campaign reports, none of you all raised a large amount of money for your campaigns. That said, can each of you take the next 3 minutes and tell the audience who you are, your platform, and why you should be the next city council person for District 5? Ricky Vasquez, we'll start with you.
All right, I'm Ricky Vasquez, candidate for District 5. I lived in Fort Worth for the majority of my life. My mom saw some things that she felt wasn't good for her kids, so we ended up moving, and I ended up going to high school in Arlington. After that, I went to the Marine Corps. So I did 2 tours in Afghanistan, got out the Marine Corps in 2014, went to Paul Quinn College, studied for legal studies, and then from there went to mortuary school at Dallas Institute. And I ended up being a medical examiner investigator in Bell County. I stayed in Killeen for a minute, and then there saw things happening back home that I couldn't really watch, so I decided to leave the career over there, and I moved to Fort Worth and became immediately active on doing things for the community to make it better. I was precinct chair, election judge, and now I'm here as a candidate. With my unique background, and especially the things that I do in the community, I don't do it for show. I do it because it's the right thing to do, and I feel that people should give back to their community in so many ways, whether it be food, whether it's keeping them updates on COVID, whether also it's the feeding the community, helping them with water, which all I've done. But I don't do it for gloat. I do it because that's what the community needs, and that one needs to be done. I've done everything I could do as far as what I could do right now. So I decided to step up to the plate and run for city council so that way I could do more, because I've already been involved in politics for 7 years. I've worked with Mark Vesey. I've also worked when I was in the Marine Corps, especially off days. I worked with Chris Ray, who is the mayor in North Carolina. So given all the intelligence that I know, I've been able to talk to other people, whether it be on Clubhouse or by phone call, on how they were able to get their community back on, which I took notes, which I was able to put things in play And I would like to put them even more in play, whether that be youth centers, getting businesses back up. When I say businesses back up, I mean actually giving an opportunity and chance where we actually partner up with realtors and we partner up with builders to where we can find out how to come together as a community and buy land so we can actually own our property and own our community. I want to grocery stores so we can have a farmer's market, but I want to make it co-op, make it different to where local farmers can actually put their products in that store to where money can come back in the community and spread out within the community. On the other side, there'll be people who will put normal products up there, like whether it be makeup, if they know how to make air conditioning, if they know how to do, you know, you name it, body products, hygiene, you name it, it'll be on those shelves and their names will be on. And then the police relations, the police reform, I want to get that back on one accord. I want us to encourage our youth to actually join the police so they could actually make the community better, because nobody knows what the community needs other than the community. So we can see somebody from District 5 one day become the chief of police or also one day become the mayor. See, those are the type of goals I want our youth to go. When I met with MedStar, I talked about having a program put in Poly and Dunbar to where when kids graduate, they can already be certified to be EMTs. And we're working on that now as we speak. So that's what I have to bring to the community. It's time to get us back on track, the road to victory, so we can have people back with vision, leadership, collaboration, and progress. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Antonio Twin Harris, tell us more about you, your platform, and why you should be the next city council person for District 5. Did we lose Twin? Antonio Twin Harris.
I'm sorry, here I am. I'm
okay.
Antonio Twin Harris. And, of course, Twin signifies that I also have an identical twin brother. And a lot of times when I speak in twos, as in twin, because, you know, I was born with someone, meaning that I learned how to share way before I came out the womb. Now, my thing is, you know, when you grow up in that type of environment, you want everybody around you to be able to have at least that of what you have or more. That's just the type of person that I am. When I see that my people are being disenfranchised in all the aspects of life, I'm concerned about that. I've been candidating all my life. This ain't something new to me and what have you. I'm a proud product of Fort Worth. I'm the same person that went to the YMCA's down on the east side. I'm that same person that was in the CEDAR program where you can work at 14 and you get paid for it. I'm the same person that was in I was in the Scared Straight program when they first came to Fort Worth. They wanted to see how things were and how it affected the children. Lo and behold, I was one of those people who had the privilege to go into the jails even as a young child and see how things were going and what have you. I'm a product of Fort Worth. See, I'm that same little boy that was in the churches of Fort Worth. I'm that same person that found my roots in Fort Worth, if you didn't know it or not. Even with the Water Garden downtown, I was the one that was giving the speeches and on the commercial, presenting the Water Garden to Fort Worth downtown. So I am Fort Worth. So now, even in knowing that, I'm being a product of Fort Worth, what Fort Worth have instilled in me, and doing that, I became that who instilled that in others as well. So I'm still maybe not part of the POW program, which was the Police Athletic League back then when I played Pee Wee football, but it also other institutions that I've been associated with and I joined and did certain things with. There's a Dunbar. I'm still a product of Fort Worth. Now I'm instilling things instead of things put inside of me. So now I have a connection backwards and forwards. And this is why I am the best candidate for this position. Why? Because I am the grassroots of what groups, what programming and institutions and what have you. I am a product of that. So I know how to go backwards and forward. I know what it felt like to be in this position, and I know what it feels like in order to be a leader in that position. So again, my platform is very simple. I am heartbroken when I am asked, why are you running for city council and what are you going to do? And when I ask the question, do you know what district you in? Do you know who's your city councilman? Do you know what city council is about? And I get the answer of no. I have a grave concern about that. Why? Because it is time that the ignorance of our people be turned over and flipped over. And I don't just blame it on the people. I blame it on the city council person as well. Why? Because they are the ones that are supposed to be engaged. They're the ones that are supposed to be open and for discussion. They are the ones that are supposed to go out and make sure that the issues and concerns of the citizens are met. And this is why, again, I'm running for city council because I know that it has to start somewhere. And our people need to know what's going on in city council because nothing moves without the changing of the law. Nothing moves without the changing of the policy. You can fight, you can shout, and you can do whatever you want to do. But until it is set in place for you to make some changes and start making some differences, is not going to change. That's why I'm running for city council.
Okay. Bob Willoughby, same question.
Yes. Well, one reason I believe I'm qualified for this job is because I hadn't been just running for it. I've been working for it for 8 years. I've attended over 60 council meetings. I was at the bond meetings. I've been at the redistricting meetings, and pretty much knowing what's going on inside the city and what's happening before you can do anything. And one thing I know, before you can do anything, all these things these people are talking about and everything about what they're going to do and how they're going to make it better, if you don't have a real city manager and a real mayor, your hands are going to be tied pretty much to do a lot. But you can yell out about it. That's what I believe. So it doesn't mean don't go forward, but it just means that there may be an obstacle there until we get a because I'm really not happy with I believe Maddie is the one that's going to be the mayor with all the backing and everything, and I'm not happy with that. But anyway, well, we're talking about our district. Another reason why I've been working for it and how thing is that I've been to all ends of this district. There's not just one issue, one category to work on. There's several. There's several different the district's different from one end to the other. The north end is where all the money is, and that's why Gina Bivens is leaving the south end and moving to the north end, because the money is there, and that's where she gets her money. And you can see the little billboard she puts up over there off of Stalk Up, and then you can see the big one over at Trinity, where she always puts it over there. And that's to tell those people, that's, you know, to vote for her, that's where the money is. It's funny on your show that she said that people are moving back to Stop 6 when she's moving out. That sounded kind of funny, but nevertheless, that. But the thing about it is that being in both these places, on the far south end, a lot of the houses on that south end of our district, they all have bars on the windows and on the doors for protection from criminals. And this, I think, is it's not right. I mean, I think they're being caged in, and the criminals are running free is what it looks like. Now, I could be wrong. They don't look like beauty bars to me. I mean, that might be. But all the houses on that end of the district, a lot of them, I mean, just when you get up in the southwest corner of our district, you'll see a lot of houses with bars on the windows. You go to the north end past the river off of Trinity, you see no bars on houses over there, not at all. And I think it's, you know, the quality of life. Everybody wants to live where you can let your kids go out and play in the yard without being shot. So all this stuff, and one thing before you can do anything about a lot of this, though, you better know what's going on downtown first, and then you start working out. Because all these ideals, I agree with a lot of these ideals, sure. We need jobs. I agree with Nettles on better-paying jobs. We know all that. But it's also, it's not the just the council member. It doesn't have to be a real smart council member. It doesn't have to be. They need to know how to hire the right staff around them. When I got involved, the council member made $25,000 a year, and their staff made $50,000 a year. Staff is $50,000, and the council member, they changed that where I think you pay whatever to your staff. But that's when I called to ask Dennis what his staff got and what he got. But you pick your own staff. You pick the person out, but they were getting twice as much as you do. But you want to hire people that are qualified staff. And another thing that's missing in our whole thing here is moral values and honesty. And until we get that back in and get control, that's going to be hard. But anyway, I know the whole end of the district from one end to the other. I've got 8 years into it. I'm not running. If Gina would have been honest in the beginning, I supported Gina when she ran against Frank Moss, but she changed when she got elected. If she would have answered my questions and changed, there would not be a need for me to run. I have a content life. I've had a blessed life. I got everything I need, but after learning what kind of cesspool of corruption that we are living in right now, I don't think you can look at anything out there until we look at getting the decency back downtown. But anyway, there's my point of view. Thank you.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk the Word. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight we're speaking with three of the candidates running in District 5 City Council race. We're talking with Antonio Twin Harris, Ricky Vasquez, and Bob Willoughby. If you have a question or a comment, call in tonight at 516-387-1981, then press 1 once connected. Again, if you have a question or a comment, call in tonight at 516-387-1981, and then press 1 once connected. Tonight's segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth is being sponsored by Calvin's Lawn Care. They specialize in all of your lawn care needs. Reach out to them at 817-986-9478. That's 817-986-9478. Tell them Let's Talk Fort Worth sent you. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 407-419. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Yes. Good evening, Carrie. How are you this evening? This is Lisa DeBrito.
Hi.
So I have a question for all three candidates. I'd like to give them each, if I may, 3 minutes to answer my questions. To give you a little background about myself before I ask my questions, I am a resident of District 5, Church Street, and I have also been fighting local government corruption for 25 years in all 5 states that I've lived in. I was a military wife and widow, and I'm also a retired constitutional and civil law attorney. And though I have never had political aspirations, I am very well aware of how the political arena works. So that being said, let me just say that of all the 5 states and all the cities I've lived in, I would agree with Mr. Willoughby that this is absolutely, in my 25 years of fighting government corruption, the absolute most corrupt city that I've ever lived in or been an activist in. Now, that being said, government, whether we like it or not, is a business. And it is run like a business, as is our country. We are the corporation of the United States, and we are the corporation of Fort Worth. So there are 3 topics I would like the candidates to answer, actually 4, in 3 minutes, please. And this is where you stand on the following. The first is, where do you stand on redistricting? Because this speaks to Vision North Texas, which is an arm of Agenda 2030-2050. And it has everything to do with the redistricting in the city, as well as the gentrification of the city. That's question number 1. Where do you stand on that? Question number 2, where do you stand on the fact that we have 2 police officers for every 1,000 residents of this city? And what would you do to change that within the budget? Number 3, where do you stand on the inequalities that stand between the north side and the east side and the south side and the west side of Fort Worth? And finally, number 5, if you become elected in District 5, I want to speak to this as far as what was spoken to earlier about the monies. Now, it is important to note that, yes, because I own a second home in Florida, and Florida has something called the Sunshine Laws. And the Sunshine Laws are specifically for transparency of political candidates, starting with your local municipality. And there's a good reason that they have a two-term limit and a $1,200 a month campaign contribution limit. And that is because, as we see in larger state politics and also national politics, money talks. And when, like in the case of Gina Bivens, in the last election cycle, you've received $60,000 from the Fort Worth Police Officers Union. And understand something. My father was a military MP and a Boston police officer after he got out of World War II. I am back in the blue 100%, so I don't want anybody to misunderstand my question. However, per the DOJ reports, we have approximately a third of our police force that is dirty and corrupt. We definitely have an inequality of, per the FBI, of citizen to police ratio. Again, I'm going to repeat that. Two police officers for every 1,000 citizens, and we have over 1 million citizens and growing daily in the city. And then finally, and most importantly, that per that Department of Justice report, we have a very, very inappropriate relationship between our mayor, our council members, and the police officers union. And I quote from that report, the Fort Worth Police Officers Union has been allowed to become too strong in this city. So as candidates, and quite frankly, unless they sweep this election, you may be fighting some of the same agendas that we're fighting now. How would you as a candidate address those items? 3 minutes, gentlemen.
We're going to start with Bob Willoughby.
Can we get her to ask the questions again? Like, because no offense, there was a lot of.
Well, maybe start one at a time. Take one.
Yeah, ask one of them, and then go around, do one at a time.
One question at a
time. Okay, so my first question is, my first question is, how do you feel about term limits and campaign contribution limits based on what I said?
Okay. Carrie, who should start? Call somebody out, Carrie.
I called you out, Bob Willoughby, to start.
Oh, did you? You called me out. Oh, wow. Oh, why not? Okay. Term limits. Well, our council members against term limits. I am 100% for term limits. I don't believe this job is meant to be a career job. I believe 3 terms, at 2 years a term is fine, and then you need to step down for one, at least one. And then if you want to come back and run, who knows, we might get someone in worse and want them back. So at least step down for one and then come back. That's the way I'd like to see it. And you can pass that on to the next person.
Okay. Ricky, you jump in. What was your response?
Okay, so my thing on term limits, I do agree. It shouldn't be a career thing because, you know, you get complacent. Like, you're going to call it like it is. I do believe council should be 8 years, and I believe mayor should be 8 years, but I think, I believe that mayor should be a 4-year term and not a 2-year term. So I think it should be like 2-term max and then, you know, open it up because there's a lot of people that have to bring new ideas to the table and, you know, we don't want to be stuck on one thing for a long time.
Okay. Antonio Twin Harris.
Yes, very eloquent spoken. Yes, the term limits can be one of the things that I would probably be for, but because we know that the longer you are in a position, the more apt you are to become corrupt or kind of complacent. And, yes, I'm with Bob and Mr. Vasquez on that. Hey, again, it's about trying to grow. Like I say, sometimes you might get complacent in that arena and what have you. So, yes, I agree with the both of them.
Okay. And the next issue is campaign contribution limits. Let me give you an example of that. Per the Florida Sunshine Laws, and this speaks to a city council and mayor, you may only take in $1,200 a month as a person running for council. You may only take in double that as a person running for mayor. Why? Because studies have shown that money corrupts.
You want to start me again, Carrie?
Yeah, sure. We can start you again.
Okay. Start me and go around again? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we do need like I just said earlier, we do need a cap on it. I mean, the amount of money would be different, of course, to the size of the city and that and the size of your district. But, yeah. And I can see we're a double for mayor to the that. But in short, I do believe there should be a cap on it. And, you know, that way we want a fair race, right? And that's what we want, everybody equal to run fairly. And an incumbent already has an advantage. They shouldn't complain about this. They should support it. They already got an advantage being the incumbent already. So, but, yeah, okay, you pass it on.
Okay, Ricky Vasquez, we're going in the same order each time.
Yeah, I agree there should be because you can have people, like I said, the community wants, and, you know, the community can only give so much. Like, I'm going to be honest, District 5 is definitely a big working class district. So everyone, just like me, I work two jobs. You know, I do as a chairman in the community, and then I also work as a civilian. So, you know, but when you have, like, associations that can give, like, God, who knows, 50 grand right there, and then you're still taking more and more and more, and then you're using contributions to go out to eat and call into meetings, then a lot of people, you know, that's a big issue. It should be given for your campaign materials, for you to be able to feed your volunteers at work, you know, not paying someone in Austin $3,000 to be a consultant in the campaign. Like, there's no reason why things like that should be done. So, yeah, it should definitely be a cap on it.
Okay, Ricky, there's something going on in your background. If you could clear it up by the next question, I'd appreciate it. I'm not sure what it is, but it's hard to make out what you're saying. Antonio Twin Harris, same question.
Yes, Ricky sounds like a man on the move. I understand, Rick. Yes, I can hear. One of the things is that, you know, first of all, it makes it even for a level playing playing field for those who are receiving monies or whatever for whatever it may be. But not only that, with monies or the influence of money is where the problem lies. And yes, I am right along with her and very much understanding that, yes, it should be a cap on it both ways because we can't afford any more influence than we already have. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm probably the least influenced and the more passionate about this position because, you know, for me, we should do what it takes to make betterment for the city and the citizens. And it seems as though when we're dealing with the money, it's always leaning toward the city.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Next question. Ratio of police to citizens. And I'll give you a real-time example of this. Last month, I was the victim of an attempted assault in front of my house, and the perpetrator proceeded to stalk me for over 9 days, okay? He came to my house. He came to my house when my husband was home, and he is now charged with attempted assault. He is charged with obstruction of justice, and he is charged with stalking. And yet, I got a phone call from my neighbor on Saturday when I was trying to relax, okay, and lay in my hammock because I am a legal consultant now for an attorney in Richardson, Texas. And my neighbor called me and she goes, you know that guy that has the arrest warrant that tried to assault you? I go, yeah. She goes, he's two doors down at the house on Rose Hill. I said, really? So I called up the Fort Worth Police Department. I called 911 because he does have a warrant out for his arrest. My husband and I did finally, after 9 days, met with a detective who, by the way, his caseload is 18 cases per day. And very nice young man, retired military. Okay, I don't blame the police for this. I blame the administration. Okay, but they left me twisting in the wind to the point where I threatened to sue the city through the attorney that I work with. Now, I never got my attorney never got a response from either Chief Noakes or the mayor. So when this gentleman showed back up in my neighborhood and proceeded to stalk me three times on this past Saturday, and I called 911, the response that I got was less than stellar. Okay, and let me give you an example of this. When I called 911 the first time, because his car, his vehicle was still parked two doors down from my house, okay, they said, okay, we'll send a unit out. 30 minutes goes by, no unit. An hour goes by. And my third call to 911, and I told him, he's going to leave. You're going to miss him. You got an arrest here. And they said, well, we need his birth date. So I pulled up the report, which I requested. And lo and behold, they had redacted his birth date. And so I said, I can't give you what I don't have. Okay, so they said, well, we can't send an officer out. Meanwhile, he walked by my house while I was on my front porch and waved to me like, ha ha, you're never going to get me. He's already been in jail once. He's a meth addict. He's a heroin addict. And in the incident that happened at my home, he asked me to shoot him. Now, I am an LTC. I'm licensed to carry. I'm police trained because I went through academy in Florida. And I'm not stupid. I know my castle doctrine. So I did not draw on him. And he was not in my yard when this happened. But the guy is crazy. And because of the bureaucratic nightmare in Fort Worth, I'm still sitting a virtual prisoner in my own home every time this guy is around because, quite frankly, I don't want to have a castle doctrine shooting in my yard. I really don't. I don't want to have to face a grand jury, even though I have gun insurance. And this is a direct result of the low ratio of police to citizens in Fort Worth. So my question is, how will you work to change that? Because I'm affected, as are my neighbors. I have five drug houses in my neighborhood. There is no excuse for Fort Worth keeping their police force thin. And to boot, having a third of their police force actually part of the problem, as the DOJ report reported. And I have that report, if any of you gentlemen would like a copy. So
Ricky,
how would you work to change?
I believe Ricky's trying to ask a question.
So my question is, how would you work to change that police-to-citizen ratio and, quite frankly, our crime statistics? Because right now the murder rate is up 62% in the city of Fort Worth, and the armed robbery rate is up 42%. How, as a candidate, would you work to change that?
We're going to let Ricky go if he has something to say.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask her to get to the question because we're pressed for time for other people to ask questions. That's it. But you can go.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if Lisa's got her numbers right. It might be just one officer per thousand. So, but, yeah, what we can do about it, no, I'm sure she's got them right and everything, but it does seem like it takes 2 hours. I've had several cases where you had calls for them and it takes 2 hours, and it's not the police fault. It's our council and mayor. And what we need to do about it is, well, that's going to be one of those questions until you get behind the scene, more or less, to see what's going on there. But there again, it comes right back to your manager and your mayor, the city manager. This is a manager's fault. I think we need to look at – we need to really remove the manager out of here and try to hire a manager from inside this city. At a, you know, I knew when David Cook came in, and I can't remember the other manager's name, it went out off the top of my head, but the salary was going to go up $100,000 a year. I called Mary, the secretary of the city, and I was checking to see. I said, now we get a new manager. Is the price, their salary going to go up $100,000? And I said, yeah, and it went up over $100,000 a year to get David Cook in here. And it's just ridiculous. We're paying them that much money, and I cannot believe we're paying this man over $350,000 a year. And then the moving expenses money he got and all that stuff, you look at all the benefits they get, and they get furnished a car and everything else. It's just unreal. But why couldn't we find, with a million people here, it might take a little looking, a little bit of work, but I think we could find a city manager who would be a great city manager for a quarter, for $100,000 less a year that wants to do the job because they've lived here, they got roots here, and because they actually care. And that's what I think we could find someone like that with looking at $250,000 a year. That's nothing to sneeze at either. But, you know, and when I say getting someone that's worth more than their salary, it's not that far-fetched, supposed to be, because the mayor left a job of $130,000 a year to take a job for $29,000 a year. Mayor's pay is $29,000 a year. So Bessie left a job of over $130,000 a year to get one for $29,000. Now, there's two reasons why you do that. One, either you're doing like what I'm looking for, someone that has roots, cares about the city, financially set, and want to do something before they die that's good. And that's, you know, that's what I'd like to find a city manager, and I think we could do that. And that's going to be the number one thing to fix the police until, because the council member can't go up and do this by themselves. It's going to be the manager and the mayor first. And that way you can authorize the funds. And another thing, we got to slow down on growth. That's why we can't get caught up, too. We got more people coming in our growth that's exceeding our income, and we cannot match the people that are coming in. Now, I'll pass on to someone else there. That's the two things.
Okay. Ricky, you guys play?
All right. So the way we fix the police issue is very simple. First, we do a call-to-action meeting with the police chief. I'm not talking about that call-to-action where everyone's talking, nothing's done, to where we have some general order done. And also fix the hiring requirements for police departments. I know a few people that want to get in, and they can't get in because of something they did maybe like 7 years ago. Like, they probably admitted that they stole weed at one point because they were trying to help their mom feed everyone that's on, feed the people at the table with the bread and everything. And that disqualified him. No criminal record, no nothing, but because he admitted that, it disqualified him from joining the police department. So we need to have a whole new requirement, whole new setup to where we can get people within our community in because we are understaffed, which causes less officers to be out there. So if we do that and bring the community together and encourage them to join with requirements being down, like I mean, as in like, you know, no federal, you know, no felony within 7 years or, you know, no misdemeanor, you know, in the past year, like something like that, nonviolent. Obvious. So we can get people in who actually want to change the community, and we can actually grow our police and actually have people that we know serve in the community. And that is exactly how we will definitely do that.
Okay. Again, Ricky, there's still some problems with your phone. Antonio, Twin Harris, same question.
Well, first of all, let's snap out this understaff. That is pure laziness, because if you telling me that the Fort Worth PD is understaffed, and when I see someone get pulled over for a traffic ticket, there are three or four cars behind them, that's hard for me to believe. If you tell me that the Fort Worth PD is understaffed, and every time I go down the street, is one sitting up clocking and trying to get somebody a ticket, I don't understand what understaffed is being, what you mean by that. And you saying hire more, and when we already have, when they already have the biggest part of the budget, something is going on here. My thing is, they are just lazy. They didn't take time out to assist the citizen like they're supposed to do, and this is why we must do something different downtown. And this, hey, I'm all for you. Love the way that you're talking, and I would be scared to go against you because, hey, I don't want to get shot. But anyway, even beyond that, we know and understand that it's not about what you're doing. It's what's going on downtown. And it's time for them to clean up their mess, stop hiring these type of people that don't want to do their job. And it takes people like you to get people like me to make sure that they do their job. Again, it's not about how many, how much. It's about people putting into action and doing what they're supposed to do. And I regress right there.
Okay, this is the final question.
Final question is this, gentlemen. We have, and thank you all for the answers to your questions. They're all good answers. Now, final question is this, redistricting and regentrification, because, and if you all want to write this down, and you all three of you may want to write this down, I'd like you to look up a website called Vision North Texas. Vision North Texas is absolutely an arm of UN Agenda 2030, 2050, and our city government is in bed with the United Nations. Betsy Price took a trip to Italy in 2018 on the taxpayer dollar with five of those lazy police officers on overtime on all of our dimes. Okay, we need to remove ourselves, and it can be done from Vision North Texas, because that is a direct correlation to redistricting and regentrification in this city. Now, I'll point this out to Antonio, and just so you know, Antonio, I'm not going to shoot you, darling, because I'm mixed race, and I've had a gun pulled on me by a police officer in Lomita, Texas. So here's the deal. I love good cops. I don't like bad cops, and we got a lot of them. And if you gentlemen want a copy of the DOJ report on the bad police officers in this city, I'll be happy to give you one, because I got a copy, and you can get in touch with me through Carrie. However, that being said, what is your position on redistricting and regentrification, especially to you, Antonio, twin? Is it okay if I call you twin? Because here's the situation.
Yes, ma'am.
The South Side used to be beautiful. Listen, I used to work with Tasha, with Nana, okay? She grew up on the South Side. South Side used to be beautiful. It was a great community for people of color. And now all of a sudden, you got the South Side that looks like, I don't know, Dallas. And who can afford to live there anymore? Can you afford to pay $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 a month rent? I can't, even on my salary, and I make good money. So here's the deal. Okay, where do you stand on this? Because this is huge, and I'll give you an example of this. They had a redistricting meeting and regentrification meeting in Stop 6, and I got Gina Bivens on recording by a citizen that handed it to me, and there were retired folks there saying, "Hey, you're pushing us out of our neighborhoods." Because here's the situation with redistricting: when you put in a 4,000 square foot commercial building next to a residential area, or when you put in some other type of condominium where it's high dollar, that's called spot zoning. And what spot zoning does is spot zoning lowers your house value. If you live in a modest home, it lowers your value. Okay, so this has a direct effect. So when these retired folks asked Gina Bivens why she was in favor of doing this to them, you know what her, and they said, "We've lived here all our lives." You know what her response was? Well, maybe that's your problem. No, I'd like to say on record on this show tonight, Gina Bivens, if you're listening, you're the problem in this city, as are the rest of the city council. You want to talk about fired up and passionate? Girl, I'm the one. I'm an activist, and I've been watching you, and you know I've called you out in council meetings. So I'm telling you now, gentlemen, where do you stand on this subject? I'm asking you nicely.
You know, I'm going to tell you that I am a product of Stop 6 Fort Worth. I am a proud Dunbar Wildcat. And when I tell you that I am furious of what's taking place. If you didn't know, Fort Worth, Stop 6 is probably the only community that's been so-called black. And wasn't, well, more or less, well, others moved in and what have you. But, you know, even beyond that, one of the main reasons I ran is because I seen my community changing. And when I noticed that change, I knew that it wasn't for me. You follow me? So, again,
I did.
When you talk about regentrification, I'm dead on spot. Why? Because when they talk about the building and what have you, I tell the builders, first of all, I don't care how much you build, but if you don't have the citizens and the people in mind when you build, I have a problem with that. I don't want you to build a new Fort Worth for someone way in New York that don't know nothing about Fort Worth. I'm not here for you to build a new Fort Worth for someone down in Atlanta that don't care about Fort Worth. I'm not here for you to build Fort Worth for no one but Fort Worthians first. And then when you do that, I don't care if you take it to the sky. I don't care if it be as long as three streets. That's when you can start building, when you can include Fort Worth
and
its citizens. Yes, gentrification is something that is, I mean, it burns me up because, again, I've seen my mom, my grandmother, is the first redevelopment house in Fort Worth, right there on Elgin, 5308 Elgin, again. And it's not one that one can't afford. I have yet to understand what is affordable housing. Affordable housing, because I don't know no one that ever built a house or anything that no one could afford. Are you following me? So, again, when you speak of gentrification, I'm the main one that would be on your side, be in front of you, behind you, up under you, pushing you, or whatever, to make sure that we stop it, and we stop it, and we stop it. Because, again, I'm for the citizens of Fort Worth and the city of Fort Worth and the unison of Fort Worth and the unity of Fort Worth. So Fort Worth, and I'm saying that coupled together, because one way or the other, Fort Worth and its citizens.
Ricky Vasquez. Thank you. We can't hear you. No.
Okay. So you're saying you hear something in the back. Well, the way I see to stop the education going on goes back to us having community owned property. That's when we work with a realtors association. That's where we work with the realtors council. That's where we work with the building associates. It all come together to find ways. What I was saying earlier, to where we can do leakage fees, and that will pretty much tax corporations, and to where anything that's built, they have to put like a type of leakage fee to be paid. And what happens with the fees is, those leakage fees are used for the community, like it's invested into the abandoned houses. There we go. That's how we invested in the abandoned houses to where they can become affordable, where they can't afford regular houses. So basically, the facing the legal barriers to implement things. The housing requirements is basically an alternative way for people to move into those abandoned houses. Because, in fact, when I was in a meeting at MedStar, we found out that the quarters of MedStar was actually in a building for 5 years. They made sure it was and it used to be a car dealership, but they made sure the building was abandoned for 5 years to let the property tax go down so they can turn something else. So the situation could have been used for others, which makes how many houses are abandoned and are being abandoned on purpose so that the city can own it and get rid of it so they could build other things here like they're trying to do. Kind of like what they did with the Cavalier apartments. Yes, they claim affordable housings will be built there, but they're not saying the full deal with what all is going to be there.
Okay, Ricky Vasquez, that didn't really speak to my question of regentrification. I'm going to tell you why. Okay, I have corporate clients who are developers, okay, and that's fine. I have no problem with growth. I have no problem with development. What I have a problem with is people being pushed out of their homes by these non-governmental entities that the city's in bed with, okay? And to give you an example, because I've also been a homeless advocate for 20 years. Now, the city had $160 million budgeted to rehab a hotel for the homeless, and then they turned around in the January council meeting and redirected that budget to something else. So you can't take one or two or three or four abandoned homes and call it good. I'm sorry. Okay, you can't. The housing issue is just going to continue to grow. Are you aware that the average age of your homeless individual in Fort Worth is 57 years of age? And young man, I'm about to tell you why. Because someday when you're old, if you're lucky enough to collect Social Security, you're not going to be able to afford your rent. So one
right,
or two or three or four houses in a neighborhood, it ain't going to cut it, brother. It's not going to cut it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's not that has nothing to do with gentrification. And then when I said the abandoned houses, that actually does help regentrification. When I talk to the Builders Association and when I talk to people who are contractors that actually flip houses and everything, there is a way to make those into affordable housing, and that's what stops gentrification. If the people own the property to where they can sell it to where it's affordable, that stops gentrification. In fact, I just told you exactly how the city makes sure things stay abandoned so that doesn't happen. But if we actually have a realtor and everybody involved to where we could put a stop to it, where these homes can be flipped and the buildings can be flipped to where we can have actual functioning homeless shelters, then we can do that. So
yes, young man, first of all, homeless shelters aren't the answer. I would suggest that you take a trip out to Austin, to Community First Village. Okay, now.
I did not say that. I said that they can be flipped into homeless, the other abandoned buildings can. But when I say abandoned houses, that can actually stop regentrification. If they're allowing houses that are actually good to live in or this got to be remodeled and they're not expensive to do so, especially with builders and contractors here who want to do these projects locally, but they're being undercut or not being told when the meetings are, then how are they able to get those buildings? But we actually have people in there who know these things that can help teach it and expand it, that can stop it. Instead, we're giving these contracts to people in different states. So that actually helps.
Well,
now we can
I will tell you this. I'm no fan of the Home Builders and Contractors Association, and let me tell you why. Because they are a political action committee. They carry a lot of money and a lot of power, and I can assure you that the majority of their members are not interested in basically lower income housing. They don't make any money on it. And I'm a member of the True Texas Project. We're a legislative arm of the citizens. I am one of their people that goes to Austin. And I just fought a battle against HB 137 with my fellow advocates. And guess who one of our political opponents was for the bill? Not against the bill, for it. And it was a bad bill. And thank God it died on the floor. However, the very second person up to argue for the bill was the Home Builders and Contractors Association. So sorry to enlighten you, but that don't fly with me. Okay. Bob Boylby?
Okay. Thank you.
I'm here.
Bob?
I'm here. Y'all remember me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. No, I'm glad you got a chance to discuss it. And that's what we need. We need more news outlets like this or more things where you can discuss something a little bit instead of just brushing by and running on. I like that. But anyway, on this thing here, the redistricting, well, when we get the new mayor and everything, this thing should be scrapped because it was started off on the – it wasn't started off right. From the charter, we're adding two more council members on the strength of less than 1% voting on it. Less than 1% voted for it to put two council members in, okay? And it takes 20% to remove one council member. Now, if we're not going to, and I've asked for 3 years to put it back on the ballot, and they can do this before we come to time 2023, we can put this back on the ballot. There's no reason why we can't. It should be advertised on billboards and let people vote whether or not we need two more council members or not. Run this through without advertising it and stuff like that, doing it under the table like they're doing. And the reason why we're adding two more council members is the Hispanic, Mr. Hernandez, I believe, is a big activist on this. They got it going years ago. I was at some of these meetings and stuff. He's a real nice man, and he's doing what he thinks are right. He says the Hispanics aren't represented down there. And since I've talked to him a lot of times on the phone, and I don't believe that. And that's what they're doing at these meetings. You can go watch them on my website at fwdistrict5.com. I put them on there so you can watch the 101 redistricting. And some of the stuff's coming up is unbelievable because it does do with race. They're redistricting by race, too. They're using it in there. And I believe, I don't care if every one of the members of council is black. or Hispanic or white or green. If they're honest, I don't care. I am craving honesty, and it's not up there. Okay, that's number one. The color shouldn't matter. The moral values and the honesty should matter in my book. So I don't really go by that. But the thing of it is, to redistritize the city the way they're doing it, and it's going to cost us $250,000 a year for those two more council members. And what are we getting for it? We've got eight council members that don't answer questions now. I don't need two more, but if we put it on billboards at least, and if more than 1% voted for it, I could live with that. But that's something that, you know, we need to be involved with, even after this election here. That's going on now, and it's been going on. But if you go to my website, you can watch the videos and get some education on what's going on, redistricting the city, how they're redistricting it, and they're breaking up the seats. One congressman oversees 700,000 people. These council members, they don't, ask your friends and neighbors, whoever calls a council member about anything. No one calls them about anything. If you start looking around and start asking neighbors, have you ever called your council member about a problem? Have y'all, any of y'all ever called your council member about an issue? Just think back. Have you got on the phone and called Jennifer?
Actually, I have. I'm not in your district, but actually I have.
Well, you're not on the panel. You're our host. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carrie. But anyway, but most people, the majority, you'll find, have never called, and that is their job to be called and ask and represent it. So they're busy. Gina's on a lot of boards. She spends a lot of time. Look on the website and look at how many boards she served on. She's got time to serve on boards, but she don't have time to make any meetings or do any Q&As or any of that. So, but anyway, there's something to look around at. But anyway, the redistricting thing and the way they're using race in it, I think is wrong myself. I don't care if it's all Hispanic, if it's all black or all white. I don't care. If it's honest, that's what I care about. Go ahead.
Wow. Okay, y'all. Thank you, Lisa, for those questions, for those wonderful questions. Listen, if you just tuned in, you are listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we're speaking with three of the candidates running in the District 5 City Council race. We're talking to Antonio Twin Harris, Ricky Vasquez, and Bob Willoughby. If you have a question or a comment, call in tonight at 516-387-1981, then press 1 once connected if you want to speak with the panel. Again, tonight's segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth is being sponsored by Calvin's Lawn Care. Y'all need to speak with those guys. They really do great work. You can reach them at 817-986-9478. That's 817-986-9478. Tell Calvin that Let's Talk Fort Worth sent you over there. We're going back to the phone lines, y'all. We're going to pick up area code 817-609. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Good evening, 817-609. Good evening. Good evening, 817-609. Okay, obviously they have lost contact with us. 817-721, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
817-721?
That's you.
That's Eddie Griffin.
Well, good evening,
How's everybody
Mr.
doing? I want to say that I appreciate everyone that's coming on tonight and the things that they have said. But I was looking at the property owners that do not live in Fort Worth. We have a problem with absentee landowners, absentee landlords, and because we could never get anything developed when the owner of the property was not a resident of the city. And we also discovered that there was property with restrictive clauses that if you understand, back in the old days when they said this property is not for sale to color because some of those properties have never changed hands, and so it becomes incumbent and we can't do anything with the property but allow it to decay. Now the city has come along and condemned a lot of property and scooped it up, and so the city is part of the problem now because they own so much land. Like out at the Panther Island development, and I imagine that also in the Evans and Rosedale district, they bought up a lot of property because they couldn't find the owners. One generation did not convey the property to the next generation, so nobody knew who owned the property. They scooped that up, and they didn't scoop it up for free. They took the money and put it in escrow for whenever the property owner comes along. But as that property decays, it's in the city's hands. We can't do anything with it. And I imagine it's the same way in Stop 6, that the city have condemned houses, condemned land, come along and kept up the property, mowed the lawns, and eventually the property went into the hands of the city. Now, whatever happens on that property, that is the city's responsibility. The city is at fault for a lot of the blighted land that we have in our community that we can't do anything about. We need full disclosure from the city. What lands do you own? And why is it that you cannot get up off of that land and let investors, community investors come in? Or if you can't do anything, well, why don't we just turn it back to block gardens? Do something productive with it. We can do more things productively as a community if we didn't have land that we couldn't do anything with. And so that you talk about gentrification, they waiting for some knight in shining armor to come along with a bag of money and buy it up and build a grocery store and don't even have the density. You know, we've lost so many pieces of property, we don't even have the density. We had a problem just to build a bank because of lack of density. They wanted to include Lake Arlington and say we didn't have enough people. Because they included Lake Arlington in the scope, you know. So the city is not working with us to let us know that this property is available or the city is holding this land and it's available to be redeveloped by people in the community as investors. Like Twin say, you know, the people who develop the community need to be the ones that live there, not absentees. I wanted, I just wanted to point that out and to ask the candidates how do they feel about that.
Well, he actually just said pretty much what I said earlier with the lady on the gentrification, and he just confirmed it also, these abandoned properties. So what I believe the city needs to do is have a private property, or not even just a private property, but an absentee property owner registration, so people can go on the site and actually see who owns the property, what properties are abandoned, so people can actually have a chance to go back to the community owner these properties in these cities, because he is right. Like, we have lost way more people here, and more property has been taken and nothing's done with it. That goes back to the property I said that MedStar was, and they made sure that property was abandoned for 5 years so they can get that building. The city knows what they're doing. They're doing these things for a reason. That goes back to earlier when I said there's property for sale that's not even listed. It's for sale because the city doesn't want people to know that the property is for sale. And that messes over a lot of people in the community and a lot of builders and a lot of realtors. But that's a loss on our end. And the city's not working with us on that. So I believe we need to have a property registration so people can go on and see what property so they can actually own the property and be given back into the city. That was Ricky Vasquez that just spoke.
That was Ricky Vasquez. I'm a twin. Antonio Heron. Antonio Heron.
I'm here.
Okay. You want to respond to Eddie Griffin's question?
What was it again?
Eddie Griffin was talking about...
The city holds a large chunk of land in our community that has been abandoned, and they haven't done anything with it. For example, Panther Island. While they were getting federal money, it looked good. But after the federal money dried up, they seemed to have abandoned the bridges that they were going to build and all of the other stuff that they were going to build. What do we do about that? How do we get the city to get up off the land that they own that's decaying our community?
Well, the thing about it is that that's part of the process. See, it's almost like starving. When you starve someone, hey, they're going to come out, they're going to do something different. That's part of the process. I don't know if you know anything about Stop Six, but right there on, it used to be a Dairy Queen on the corner of Berry and Stalker. And, man, that has been vacant so long. Again, what they do, they come in and they handcuff the property. No, Ricky, it's already known. People know that we already know what's on the market. We already know what's being sold and what have you is public. But again, when they come in and buy everything up and they starve us and they and to the point where we are fed up and they push us out purposely, what can we do? What we can do is, first of all, we have to preserve all the property that we have now. Once we preserve what we have and we pool together and we start saying, hey, listen, we're not giving up no more property. They can't make you sell. We are not giving no. But the land is the stronghold. Once you give up the land, you done gave up everything. So, again, we'll continue to give them our land. We continue to let them trick us out of our land. We continue to let them put fines and go and cut our yards and charge us $300 when it shouldn't cost but $30. We continue to let them do it. And, again, our only stronghold is to put a cease on it, right? Stop right now. And then let's move forward. So, yes, Ricky, we need to find out who owned this property so we can tell them to hold on to what you got, man, so that until we can do what we can, our problem is we continue to give up. We continue to give in.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Griffin, our only stronghold is to band together and do what it takes for the citizens of Fort Worth to build a relationship with the city of Fort Worth and let them know they listen. You can only do so much. You have to. We are your responsibility. We are the citizens. Mm-hmm. We are your responsibility. And me as a city councilman and running for city council, I know and understand that I take on the responsibility of the citizens. Bob, I love the way you say that it's about what are you really and your real intent. I just want someone honest there. I just want someone that would do the will of the righteous, do the right thing. We are being subjected to those not doing the right thing, and this is why we are biting our nails, scratching our heads, because the wrong people are not, the right people are not representing us in city council and our seats. And it's time. It's time. And trust and believe, we have to do it.
Wow. You know, wow, that's profound. As he was saying that it was time, I went and looked up the terms, or I shouldn't say that, the terms that the previous council people have been in office and the current council person. Frank Moss was in from 1998 to 2004. He lost the election and then came back and was in from 2007 to 2013. Gina Bivens has been in since June of 2013. Is it time for a change in Stop Six, y'all? I don't know. That's the question tonight. We're going back to the phone lines, 817-609.
Can you answer
evening.
That question or not?
I'm
what was
sorry,
the other
say, well,
question?
Sorry,
I think I left out of that one.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, answer the question, Bob.
The question to Griffin, was that to everybody or just to was that the question just to Griffin?
Sorry, did I miss you?
I meant for Griffin. Was that just to Antonio or was it to everybody?
No, please answer. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's talking about what to do over in Stop Six area and that. And, you know, what I think we need to do is, I know we need to do, to help to stop, I guess they call it block busting too, and all the kind of things doing to make it better, is that reforming zoning is one thing. That is what we need to do for sure, is reform zoning. The council member can even, has done it right before in front of us, at city council, rezone the property that we were fighting from one thing to another thing that wasn't even on there. We was trying to stop it from being A5. We wanted to stay at A41. They wanted A5. We said no. Well, the council member moved it to A75 without even going through the zoning board or asking the residents or anything. They had a power, and we came out going, what just happened? Was that legal? We didn't know nothing about A75, but that's what it went with Gina Bibb. She just moved it to that, and they passed it. The other thing is, the zoning board.
Did we lose you, Bob?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I guess they didn't like what Bob was saying. Bob, did we lose you? I don't see that he's hung up on the board. I'm not sure what happened with you, Bob. We're going to see if we can go back and open his phone line. Bob, your phone line is open. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe Bob's struggling with some technical difficulties on his end. We're going to go to the next question, and we'll come back to Bob in just a second. Area code 817-609. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I don't know, but I want to speak to the candidates. I'm not in District 5. I'm in District 8. But my name is James Smith, and as you probably know, I'm still dealing with the mayor of Autotiana Jefferson. And what I want to know is, if you're elected to be a council person in that seat, would you champion justice for Autotiana Jefferson? And what would you do to secure that?
Good question. Twin, what would you do?
Well, Mr. Man, let me tell you who I am. I am that person when that incident happened that welcomed the mother when she came to that residence and helped her out the car as the protesters and the crowd was around. That's who I am. So, yes, I am invested into the betterment of our people, from the better treatment of our people. Again, I'm less influenced and more passionate for the betterment of our people. Yes, I would champion for her and anyone else. If you didn't know, again, I'm Antonio Twin Harris from District, going for District 5, and I found myself down in Austin, Texas, fighting the George Floyd bill or the George Floyd Act of HB 88. That's House Bill 88. You should read it. It is a wonderful bill. And I'm down there in Austin. And I was floored by all of the different stories that had me in, I mean, crying on the inside because of mistreatment of our citizens. And when I say that, you wouldn't believe the amount and how many people have been through the same excruciating pain that that mother had with that child. You wouldn't believe it. I heard some stories that has, I mean, ripped me completely apart. So, yeah, I would champion any injustice to the people, any injustice to the citizen. I would champion any injustice. Why? Because that's what I'm here for in the first place. Again, Fort Worth, you must do your part and ensuring that our people and our citizens are comfortable. We are unrest. We are angry. We are disappointed. And again, yes, I will lobby. I will march. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that there is some type of, how can I put it, man? Because, you know, when I roll down the street and I'm driving and I see law enforcement, I feel some type of way. It might not be a scary feeling, but I feel some type of way. And I shouldn't. I should know and understand that they are there to protect me, not serve me. Again, when I hear that there are cameras in my community, and knowing that I am under surveillance in the name of security, are you following me? Again, it's time for us to do something different, Fort Worth. I am all for it. And Mr. John, I think you said your name was?
Mr. J.
Wherever you see me, huh?
Mr. James,
I'm sorry, sir. Mm-hmm. Again, one of the things that we must know and understand, listen to this, is called qualified immunity. Qualified immunity, learn what that is, study what that is, and understand that until we start from the top and we get that out of there, we're going to continue to have the problem that we're having. Understand that. Qualified immunity. It's time that we change, and that means that they're not reprimanded for the things that they do to us. Again, the reason why I'm here is because I'm here to change laws, policy. I must change laws and policies in order to be effective in their position. And that's what I'm there for. I'm not there to gloat. I'm not there to raise my hand and praise. I'm there to change some laws and policies that my people, my world can be at rest and learn to live, operate, and function properly.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I will, champion.
All right. Ricky Vasquez, same question.
Can you guys hear me clear?
Yes. Much better.
All right, good. How you doing, James?
I'm hanging in here. I'm waiting on August.
I feel you. For everyone listening, me and James actually go back when the Tatiana Jefferson incident happened. I was behind the scenes, like I said earlier in the show. I'm not for gloat. I just do things because it's right. And, of course, James, you know, I definitely advocate for Tatiana Jefferson. In fact, I've been the guy who's been keeping everyone updated, finding out when the court cases is. I'm the one who told people the reason why we don't hear about the cases is because there's a gag order on the case. In fact, when they were trying to rename the street, we wanted to rename 35. Wasn't that right, James?
Yeah, they're supposed to memorialize 35. They haven't
right.
They haven't done it yet.
Yeah, they haven't done it yet. But James, I tell you, been working behind the scenes with him, Dr. Grayson, Amber, Ashley Carr, to get that I-35 memorialized for Tatiana. But while we were doing that, we ended up getting the street name change for her, which was a very good progress. I know as far as right now, the trial is set for August, and I know we will definitely be there and keeping a tight watch on it. I always say her name. I always bring her up anytime there's anything about police reform because I have taken this case very personal as well as all the other citizens in this city. So, as like I said, I'm all about action. I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't even know that I helped out with this until they heard it today. And James can vouch for it. And in fact, he does a lot of things for the community. You can't miss it. His house has a big sign with the Tatiana Jefferson on it. And, yeah, I'll definitely advocate for it like I've already been advocating for a Tatiana Jefferson.
Thank you, Mr. James. We still haven't found Bob Willoughby. I don't know what happened with his call. We're going to go back to the phone lines, 817-726.
Yeah.
Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Okay, we.
Hello.
Okay, good evening.
Am I in?
Yes. Oh, Bob, you have
are
to
you
call
talking?
In a different number. Hi.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm sorry. My other phone, my internet went out.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, can you hear me? Okay, my other phone went off. Everything went dead. I was just talking away there, and all of a sudden I found out I was all by myself. But anyway, okay, this phone probably isn't going to hold up long, but I'll be listening to the recording of this, and Dad, I don't know where we're at right now or what question where we're at, but I just wanted to call in and say, my internet went on the blink. Hmm?
Hey, Bob, the question was from James Smith. I don't know if he's still on, but the question was, will you be for memorializing I-35 for Tatiana Jefferson?
Oh, okay. For to do what for Jenner? I'm sorry. This thing's kind of breaking up somewhat.
Not memorializing. It was for are you for advocating justice for Tatiana? That's what your question was. Are you for advocating justice for Tatiana Jefferson?
Well, I'm for supporting anything the neighbors are for supporting, especially over there in that case and what's happened to her and everything. I'm for supporting everything that anybody is for, but there's also, you know, I'm supporting everybody, not mm-hmm. just her, everybody, okay, and okay. what can come in the future too as well. It's not one, but everybody, but that needs to be. I'm behind it 100%. And the street changes and all that to remind these council members that they're not doing their job, you know, and they see that. I think they need to see that. And that's why we had what we have. But anyway, I'm sorry if it sounds like a cop-out answer on that one for me, but I am for supporting the neighbors and for, you know, morally right.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Listen, everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people are very concerned that downtown does not present transparency in the way that they handle business. If you all are elected, how would you all attempt to try to change that? It just seems like they currently do what they want to do, and we just kind of get told what the action is. We're not always included. It seems like whatever the people want isn't necessarily what the leadership gives us. So what would you all do to provide a more transparency about the process downtown? We'll start with you, Ricky.
All right, Kenny. All right. So, yeah, we do lack transparency and efficiency definitely here in our city. So what I believe that we can work on with that, let me make sure I got my notes right for you. So let me go in here. I actually had a plan. There we go. So to improve transparency, we got the first deal, I would say, the community roundtable. Those are the call to action meetings. That will basically have all the leaders, church leaders, and people in the community actually, you know, talking about the issues. But it's like I said before, any one of those where you just talk, and then everyone goes about today, you actually come up with a solution, and it's presented in the next council meeting or the one after we have an end call. The next thing that I want to do is, well, we already have oversight, but I want to improve it, the community oversight. I want it to be back in action where it should be, and to improve efficiency, definitely implement strategic planning in the city. And lately we've been noticing with the pipes and everything, because they're definitely out of date. Definitely in District 5, some have leakage, and basically also the winter storm, that made it even worse. So I definitely want to have income-sensitive water reduction programs for the city. But we believe if we all work one accord and become transparent together, and also with this new city council that the city is going to elect, we can do definitely just action there and bring on the transparency and efficiency in this city. There's a lot of and like myself. So that's what I can definitely bring there, so we can get it as a start, so we can make it more effective around the city.
Okay. Antonio, how would you bring about transparency downtown?
Well, again, through transparency, we can finally get focused on our future. Through transparency, we can finally get focused on our future. In other words, until transparency, we can't see that which is hidden from us, and that is hidden from us, we can't deal with. So again, that is first and number one on my agenda. And the reason being is because I was subjected to the lack of transparency and them not bringing forth some evidence, some footage that was needed for me to protect myself and to do some things. So again, this is something that's personal with me. And we must, again, make sure that they bring the evidence to the table, whether it hurts them or the other party, but it must be seen. We must need a level playing field. And again, if we are going to get to the equity, the equality, and the justice, and the unity, there must first be some transparency here in Fort Worth. So, yeah, again, I will do whatever it takes to make sure that the information is out there, that we know what's going on before it happens. I will make sure that we understand what's going on, because I know and understand that understanding is the best thing in the world. But if we don't know what's going on and we can't see some of the things that's going on behind the scenes, we are at a disadvantage, and that's where we are being here in Fort Worth.
All right, Bob Willoughby, 60 seconds or less. Michelle, we got to get these answers down to 60 seconds or less in order to get to more questions by the end of the evening. Bob Willoughby, what would you do to bring about more transparency downtown?
Okay. You might lose me on this phone at any time, so, and that's all right. I just want to let you know what I do about transparency. Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, I guess to bring transparency is if we use some of that bond money coming up in 2022 to put up billboards to inform people what's going on, like an election. I mean, if you go to the city website, you will not see election, anything about election dates or even when you can sign up to be in election or any of that. You have to go to find elections on the city website. You got to go to the top of the page, hit government, let it drop down, go down to city secretary, open that up, and then you'll find election. And then you can start filing around back to find everything. But that election should be on the front page of that website. And it should be on billboards, same as your digitizing should have been on there, bonds and everything else. Billboards would help transparent by everybody sees a billboard. If you had four of them up, I think we do have one. It's by where there used to be a Don Carter Bowling Alley on 30 going towards town from the east side. And it says, welcome to Fort Worth, the modern west, the new modern west, we're going forward. Now, that's really a lot of information with our tax dollars, that billboard. I got so much education out of that, it just hurt. But that's what's up right now. Nothing about May 1st or any of that or, you know. So transparency is by you know what? And also if we had a channel on, I don't know how familiar anybody is with Antenna TV, which is free, Antenna TV, and it has hundreds of channels. I don't know why the city don't have the our channel on there as well as we do. We're on Charter, and that's a pay, but Antenna TV is free. So, but anyway, let's go ahead. And like I said, if you lose me, my other phone, she's like, you know, I'll be able to call in here in just a second on the phone. I think my internet's back. So go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go back to the phone lines, 817-825. You moved on the board. 817-825. They just lost them on the board. Okay, 817-825, if you want to call back in. I'm sorry. I had you holding for a while. But listen, y'all, I'm going to give them 1 second to see if they pop back up, and if not, we're going to move on to the next question. Okay, back to the funding that we talked about earlier as far as you all's campaign reports that were turned in. And Ms. Bivens, I told you I was going to put everything out there tonight, so if you want to call in and, you know, speak for yourself, you can. But anyway, Ms. Bivens took $10,000 from the POA. And, you know, some people agree with that, some people don't. And then she took $1,200 from PSEL PAC. I'm not sure what that is referring to. And then she took an additional $1,200 from what's called Good Government Fund. They report to have their address at 200 Main Street, but that's the Renaissance Hotel. So I'm not sure what's going on with that, but I wish you'd call in and talk to us tonight and tell us more about it, because I think everybody has a problem with funding coming from special interest groups, because it just lends to the fact that maybe everything may not be above board. And so if she wants to explain, you know, we would love to hear from her. But I think across the board, everyone has said there's an issue with special interest groups giving to campaigns due to the fact that typically they want something from the council person, and so therefore they give to the campaign in exchange, you know, they feel down the road that they may get what they want. So I don't know, just something I'm putting out there tonight. We're going back to the phone lines, 817-825. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
How's it going? How's it going? This is the other twin. This is Anthony Harris. Okay, well, I have a what I want to talk about is the school system. To my understanding, what I have observed is most communities are governed by how well the schools are. I remember when those people out in Alito, when they started winning football games and things like that, a lot of people wanted to move out to Alito because of the school. Now, my concern is this. My concern is this. Through observation of the Stop 6 area, I have noticed how they are slowly taking away the Dunbar schools, the name Dunbar, and if that's my alma mater, then once the high school is gone, then I really have no allegiance to the Stop Six because that's what we're most proud of, is our alma mater. But with that, I want to ask the candidate this question. They have a lot of different charter schools that are moving in the areas of the Fort Worth School District, and they are getting a lot of the Fort Worth Independent students. Therefore, Fort Worth Independent School District is losing a lot of money, which when you lose money, then schools are going to be closed down. Now, I'm afraid that my alma mater would be one of those schools before long. My question is, being a city council member, and y'all would more than likely be in head of the infrastructure of how the city is laid out, or the layout, the plan laid out, do you all think, or do y'all have y'all thought about the ratio of how many charter schools would be in comparison to the independent school district, the Fort Worth Independent School District? You understand the ratio of, you know, in certain areas, we're not going to build, you know, 2-to-1, or we're going to build 1.5-to-2. You understand the ratio. So that's my question, because, once again, my concern is losing the alma mater. Therefore, there would be no reason for me living in my community, continue to live in my community, for my children to go to my alma mater, or it would be a reasoning for me not to move back to my community.
Gotcha.
And that's my question.
Okay. Thank you, Other Twin, for that question tonight. Bob Woolby, we're going to start with you. If you could answer that in 60 seconds or less, please.
Okay. Well, I kind of got lost on the question here just a little bit. I know some of that, but I'm not too familiar with charter
schools. About charter schools coming into the area.
Yeah.
Are we throwing off the balance?
Too familiar with the charter schools, but what I would do is, and plus this is a ISD thing, I believe, too much, but what I would do as a council member anyway, council member should do, is ask the neighbors, how do you feel in your area about a charter school? And how about that? I don't know. And one thing I think, I wonder if you think, should schools be digitized in their own cities? Because we have one over on the north end where the money is, across the river in Trinity, off of Trinity exit there, and it's a Bedford Euless school, but it's in Fort Worth. And they have a lot better turnout than the rest of our schools do across here. So I just, not that, I don't know, I guess it seems like all the money's down there and they're using a school outside of here. I just wonder, should schools be redistributized to be inside their own city, you know, only that we can, all Fort Worth chose the Fort Worth schools. And when it comes to the charter and losing your, you know, no, you should keep, I think you were talking about the name being changed. Is that correct on the Dunbar School? Is that possible?
I think we're going to have to move on this question.
Okay.
But I think
go ahead, move on to the next person. I appreciate that. Okay, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think what he's saying is ratio. Let me get you to basically rephrase that question. But I think what you're saying is you're concerned about the ratio of charter schools coming in versus the schools that exist already in our community. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, what I'm saying is this. You know, when you have different schoolings in the same area, then you're going to produce different ideologies of the students that comes out of those schools. Now, not only is that, now you got 2-for-1 right there, but if the charter school outweighs the Fort Worth Independent School, if, in other words, if it's 3 charter schools and 1 Fort Worth Independent School in the area, then eventually that Fort Worth Independent School will fade out and would be non-existent. Therefore, I am, because Dunbar High School is my alma mater, I am afraid that that Dunbar High School will become non-existent because of the charter schools that's in that community. And
Can I respond real quick?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, too many charter schools could do, I guess what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, if there's too many. But isn't it more important what they turn out if the students coming out of the charter schools are turning out better than what they are out of the other schools, at the end of the day, would that be the more important thing, though? And that's good for me. Thank you. You can pass it on to someone else, or you can answer from there. Thank you. Thank you for your question.
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I want to say is this. Because that's my alma mater, I go back and I give back. And I give that tenacity that made me graduate. I give that spirit that allowed me to graduate to those students. So there is no better school than the next school if you have the community involved in the school. And Dunbar High School is a school that do get the involvement of the community.
Okay, we're going to go to the twin. The other twin, we're going to ask you 60 seconds or less, y'all.
All right, real fast, of course. Listen, what we're dealing with here is almost that of a custody battle. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we are dealing with students or children. So now mm-hmm. we are competing with charter schools and independent school district students. So now what happens is when charter schools seem to be more attractive and the student goes to the charter schools, there becomes less in the independent school district. Well, guess what? Fort Worth, you have shot yourself in the foot. Why? Because you have deduced the learning, the equivalent of a good school down to the point where charter schools are more attractive. So again, now, when it comes to city council, of course, we determine if charter schools are to become there or not. Well, maybe if Fort Worth take a stand and do better by their students and their schools, it won't be as attractive. It is almost like charter schools being like a private business that takes away from the citizens of Fort Worth. Again, I'm for mainly the school district. Of course, I'm a product of a Dunbar as well. But, again, like Bob said, what is best for the student? Is my alma mater more important than the education of that student? Or, again, Fort Worth, educational system, it's time for you to stand up, do what you're supposed to do for those babies, and make sure they get the proper education and stop losing them to the reputation of a better school being a charter school. So, hey, I rest there because we got to do something about it.
And I think part of it does go under the city, y'all, because we're being taxed for school taxes, if you will. Okay, who's that? Ricky Vasquez, same question.
So let's start here. The first issue is that we have a risk factor, an ACT risk in Fort Worth. And basically that is basically identified as the possibility of the ratio of kids dropping out in our school district. And we are at 65%. The state is at 50.6%. That's pretty bad. For our kids dropping out of school, and we see it all the time. So that's what's causing these charter schools to come in. And when these charter schools come in, they're giving better programs, they have better teaching the kids, have the kids more interested in other things. And see, the thing is, the council isn't over the schools, it's the school board trustees, but that doesn't mean that we cannot work together as one to come up with a solution to make our better schools. Now, I'm not saying charter schools are bad, because they're not. I don't mind them coming in. I don't. There's only 14, as far as we know, in Fort Worth, compared to, like, the 21 high schools we have and the 82 elementary schools and forgot how many middle schools, but I know it's up there. Like, we have schools here. But at the same time, you can't really say, hey, like, I get that we have the fear of Dunbar's name being changed, but I doubt that the high school name will be changed. I know the community won't allow that. In fact, like I said, I was at Dunbar recently talking to them. So they're very aware. We know it's not going to happen. But at the same time, that does put a scare because Dunbar Middle's name was changed. But if we work together as a community and work with the school board as a council, because councils and trustees don't really work together like that because they refuse to. But if we actually forced it to where we can actually work with them, we can come up with solutions. But if the charter schools are doing good, because to be honest with you, the charter schools have a bigger, higher graduation and success rate than our public schools do. So we need to find out what they're doing so we can improve our schools. Because if we look at the top schools in the state, remember Young Men's Leadership Academy, that made it. That's a charter school. Like, we have charter schools making it, and meanwhile, our public schools are suffering because of lack of leadership. So we need to team up. What we need to basically go in there and say, hey, what is it that I can do as a council person to help you guys make things easier on you so we can get these things up? Because our grade average in the state is a C, and we are, like, way down there in education. We are way down there in education, so – that's what we need to do, like I said. But there's nothing bad about charter schools at all.
Okay. Listen, y'all, in 30 seconds or less, can you all tell the constituents of District 5 why they should make you all the next city council person? 30 seconds or less, Bob Willoughby, why should you be elected to the city council District 5C?
Because I'll put a new car in your garage. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, from experience and that, and from 8 years of working at it, and I guess from wanting the challenge of the job, too. But anyway, there are several reasons why, okay? My website's fwdistrict5.com, and that'll help explain a lot of things there. But go ahead. 30 seconds is not much time. Let everybody else get a chance to speak here. Go ahead. I enjoyed this tonight. Thank you.
Okay, Twin, 30 seconds or less. Tell us why you should be elected to City Council seat District 5.
Again, I'm Antonio Twin Harris, running for City Council District 5. And the reason that I should be there is simply because you're not there. The reason you're not there is because you deserve someone like me to represent you. So, yes, again, vote Antonio Twin Harris, so that you can be properly represented in City Council.
Ricky Vasquez, tell us why you should be elected to the City Council seat, District 5.
Well, my name is Ricky Vasquez, and my goals are to equip District 5 and its residents with the tools needed for success. We need more opportunities for our children, our business owners, and our tax-paying citizens. We have several plans that involve providing the community with the resources for our youth, restructuring and improving city parks, helping residents gain access to local trades, job skill development, and healing relations with local law enforcement. My main focus when elected is not just to prepare District 5 for success, but prepare in a way that can benefit the future generations of Fort Worth residents. I know that these tasks will take a lot of work, which we as a community are prepared to do and wholeheartedly understand the road ahead. Our ideals are not impossible. For the problem we see in our community are man-made. This means the issues we see and we speak about can be fixed by man, which means it can and will be fixed by us, and that can get us to the road to victory in District 5. I'm Ricky Vasquez, and I'm running to be your city councilman.
Wow. Listen, y'all, this has been another Friday night edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. We enjoyed our guests tonight. We had with us Ricky Vasquez, Antonio Twin Harris, and Bob Willoughby. Listen, guys, good luck with your race. We wish you all the best. May the best man, woman win in District 5. We do this, y'all, each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We will be doing shows on this election through the last Friday of this month, and we shall then after that see who is elected to District 5 here in Fort Worth. Again, we do this each and every Friday night. Join us next Friday. Same bat time, same bat channel. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. Bye-bye.
Good night.